I'm here.
Okay, hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Good, you guys have a decent weekend of barbecuing and fun and that sort of thing?
Go ahead, Russ. I did. In fact, I smoked pork loin, got up at 4:30 in the morning, had guests coming over at 6 o'clock and spent, you know, monitoring time, a lot of fun, but it came out dry. So,
I've
been on a streak of just excellent execution, but that one was not proud of.
I was thinking, man, you've got skills, you know, that's pretty good. I did put the ribs on the barbecue and some chicken breasts and, you know, my sons, kind of came over and we had a good time. So all was good. And Rodney, how about you?
Oh, well, I had kind of a unexpected thing. My stepdad fell, and so I had to drive to East Texas, about 2 hours away, and kind of do some things with him and check up on him. But everything looks like he's on the mend and should hopefully be out of rehab in a week or two.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, hopefully everything will be fine. Well, let's kind of get into our call today. One of the things that you gave me a pretty extensive laundry list last time. I couldn't get through the entire list, but I hope I put a dent in it. I've got my notes in front of me. But before we begin, why don't you all tell me again what might be on your mind and, what concerns you the most and how we think business is going, if there's any changes. So, Rodney, why don't you chime in and then Russ.
I would say the thing that's on my mind is just cleaning up my efficiency and workflow further. And number one is growth. I'd like to add for me or for both of us, hopefully 7 to 8 high value clients, which would be $500,000 or above, in the next 3 months. And so I really want to focus on the bite-sized piece that we talked about last time. And you said focus on VITSA and COIs. And I like that. I am doing VITSA and haven't had, any referrals from it. So I'm probably not doing it well, so I'm working on that, practicing on that, COIs. I really want to, I'm going to make a list and just start meeting with them, talking to them, and start, deciding who can be ongoing, who may be a part of a mastermind, that kind of thing. But those meetings are critical. I mean, nothing's going to happen if we're not meeting with them and talking to them. So, really, COI, and then the other piece is I really want to do, and Russ and I just started talking about this. We were both kind of on the same wavelength, I think, and doing a client event where it's bring someone. We've seen other people have really good success with that. So growth is the big thing on my mind, making sure I'm working efficiently, and narrowing those growth methods that will be something ongoing. After this long in doing this business, I've grown and survived through growing with existing clients, and if I inherited clients, I could always grow them. But, you know, that's, I don't think that's going to work any longer. And I'm definitely not, growing, you know, as nearly as big as, you know, what I'd like to see the practice be. So, I've got to figure this piece out.
Okay.
The growth piece. Okay. That was a lot.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I took some notes. Very, very good. Excellent. Excellent. And we'll come back to your comments. Russ, how about you?
Well, I'm excited to be focused on something for the month, for example, the VIPSA. So I'm excited about that. But I am also thinking about client acquisition. And keep in mind, in terms of hats that I wear, marketing is supposed to be mostly on me. And so one of my things that I'm thinking, there are some new names coming in. There are some COIs. We're getting meetings with them. We're doing that. And one of my concerns is, from my role, that a lot of that is coming from my people that I know. And I think Rodney probably feels, hey, not enough stuff is coming in on his side. But I feel like I've got to figure out how to do that, how to help that. And so the VIPSA, I'm very encouraged. He's contacting COIs. Maybe that'll take care of it. But you know, I am getting some unsolicited referrals. And I guess I'm looking still for ideas. What can I do with my hat to encourage or help him identify people that we can work on that come from the people he knows right now versus the people I know right now?
Right.
So that's on my mind, too.
Okay. All right. I'm just making my final note. Okay, so I see.
We've got to take the opportunities at hand and make something of them. I mean, and the things that are already in process. I mean, we've got financial plans and some production things that are it's a bird in the hand, and we need to make sure we do those and do them well and deliver on that. So I'm always tentative of, I err on the side of not continuing the growth phase, but taking care of the existing business is, in my mind, more important. If we don't do it, you know, we're going to lose it, and miss the opportunities. You know, I don't want to, we had an interesting meeting with one of Russ's clients, and Russ knows this guy. He may sit on things and never do anything, but he opened the door for some opportunities for insurance. And, you know, I in my mind, I may be way off. Russ knows the guy, but he's a huge, could be a huge potential opportunity for these insurance cases immediately, but then in the future and other people he knows and things like that. So I don't want to move on too quickly from things that are already look like they're active.
Okay. All right. So let's try to capture, these thoughts in, some basic things that need to be done. Okay. Okay. Number one, we've got to always be focusing on growth and client acquisition. Okay. So I'm going to put that down. Growth and client acquisition. The second thing is at this point, how the business is organized should be done. Okay? So the organization, and by that I mean your monthly agendas, the call structure, the implementation of plans. Okay? And the 12-4-2. Okay? That should be done. Segmentation is over. Okay? You'll only need to further segment as you begin to start to get overwhelmed with new clients coming in. You'll have to continuously segment at that time. Okay? The third thing, I think, is the measurement. And by that I mean the game board meetings. You know, where you look at the items that you're holding yourself accountable to, and you're measuring your success. Okay? I'm going to throw a fourth one in there right now, because I think you all are off the storming phase to a certain extent. So I'm going to put team dynamics down here, where, you know, we're not storming. We're trying to normalize or norming the team. And then from norming, we have to really go to performing as a collective team. When clients interact with you, they're dealing with the co-lay, or however you all are classifying your team. And so all that's got to be visible. People need to see the collective power in working with two individuals. Okay? Now, I try not to hit all these things at the same time. So, we are doing, so I say organization, I'm going to click that off, and part of that's delegation of duties and responsibilities go underneath that too. The measurement, looking at your weekly game board, team dynamics. Okay. Now, let's go back to growth. Any questions so far on these four things as I've kind of tried to crystallize this for you? Any thoughts?
No, not for me.
Okay.
No, not yet.
Okay. And if you think of something, just chime in. So now we're back on the growth and the client acquisition, and we're trying to see if we're at the point now, we're implementing the team dynamic, we're implementing 12-4-2, and now we are bringing clients to the table that are satisfied with what you're doing. They're getting the monthly agendas, okay? And you're starting to communicate, you know, monthly dynamics. So, we're going to work the VIPSA model and identify COIs. And then with the VIPSA, you're going to determine if these people are going to be COIs or fall into the mastermind group category or just the general prospects. Okay? So those are really the three areas you're going to try to point them into as you get names from the existing clients. Okay. Now, let's kind of go back through this, and then I wanted to hit on a couple of topics. So you're going to campaign this on a month. So I would say have a call sheet with you've already got them in the calendar, the people that you're going to talk to for the month. So every client that you sit down with or do a review with gets kind of the VIPSA treatment. You know, who do you know in your world? You know, you're going to go through the brainstorming. You're going to try to determine the value that's being provided and where that client sits on that, if they're happy with what you're doing. Have you had an initial call or tried the VIPSA model at this point?
Oh, sure.
Okay. And what's been their response? Give me an example.
Well, for me, it's been... I've mentioned it to, you know, mentioned you to my brother, or I gave your card to somebody,
And I'll say, well, if there's, you know, is there a way that, you know, you think we could get together and just casually meet to talk more about what may be on their mind? And that's typically where, you know, they'll say, well, I'll check with them and let them know, and that's about it.
Okay. So, all right, let's break that down in terms of what goes well. Now, let's start with the value component. What did they say about the value that you offered? Did they see the value?
Different answers. It's kind of ranged from the detail of information and the thoroughness of information, the friendship, the contact, you know, being in contact with them.
Okay.
So those are the main ones.
Okay. All right. So, what would you like them to say? Let's start there for a second. What would you like them to say about your team? I
want
to write this down.
Do you want?
No, you go first, and then
okay.
then Russ, you kind of. What would you like them to say about the value that the team provides?
Generically, excellent service, and I feel completely confident in what you're telling me and what you're doing for me.
Okay. How about you, Russ?
I was looking back. I didn't scoreboard it. I was looking back last week to see if I really did do VIPSA very much, and really last week I didn't have a lot of face-to-face, so I didn't do it very much. And my one opportunity, I do realize now, we ran over and I didn't do it at all. And that was late Friday before the holiday weekend, and the office was closed, and I don't know. I must have just felt I was going too
much. Done for the week. Okay.
Kind of, yeah, psychologically checked out or something.
Okay.
But let's go back a couple weeks, and then I can tell you, in general, the feedback I get when I find out what they value or what's important, you know, I think it's more like you told us what we need to do, and we appreciate you telling us what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably would say that's what I grasp as the big value. I've got some other notes from the meetings. Sometimes I share that when I get something really unique, you know, when they say, hey, you know what, the way you take care of us, we just love you. You know, we've had some good stuff.
Okay.
But what I would want them to say, I guess I always think, is that, you know, I would like for them to say, hey, you've thought of everything. One couple did say, you've made a difference for us and our family, and you're like a family member to us now.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, obviously those are the people that I should be working with to socialize with and meet their friends. But I guess if I had to say, what would I want them to say, I would say that I've made a difference to them. And, you know, they wish that they could, you know, figure out a way to have other people get the benefit. That's what
I want them to say. Okay. So let's start with a couple of things that might kind of ring a bell. Okay, at the end of the day, you're working with these people, providing this service, and do they really understand what you are giving them? Are they being reinforced? Okay, so I would want them to say, and I'm gonna throw this out, that you think of everything. You make us feel comfortable and secure. You've taken care of our kids. we just married our daughter over the weekend. You played a role in that. You've minimized our taxes. You know, you're competent. You know, you just want to hear those kinds of buzzwords. Okay? Now, go back for a moment and ask yourself, are you delivering that and how do you deliver it? Okay? And it's the implementation of these plans. You've helped us with the roadmap. We know what our retirement income is going to be. You've structured our portfolios in a way that makes us feel safe and secure. We feel very well diversified. You make us money. Okay? So now I'm a client, and those are some of the possibilities that I'm throwing out to you that you helped me with. Okay. Now, with the BIPSA model, you have to take control, Rodney. You can't be matter of fact about it. You know, one of the things that we appreciate you as being one of our very, very good clients, and our very, very good clients provide personal introductions, face-to-face personal introductions on additional folks that might enjoy our service and capability. Okay? So, you need to have a tagline that points these people in the right direction. So you got the BIPSA down, but then you kind of leave it up to them to figure it out. You got to hold their hand. Personal introduction. When can we meet? Can you set it up? What day of the week do you think might work for them? You know, so don't leave it up to people to say, well, look, the only way I think I know how to do this is to get a three-way call. Or let me just pass on your business card. That's not a commitment. That doesn't work as well as let's meet for breakfast. I bring them with me. Let's meet for lunch. I bring them with me. I bring them to your office. I'll bring her to the office. Or we'll bring you to their office. So set it up and identify the best ways for the introduction to take place. Don't make this too much of a democracy.
where they get the
vote. Well, we're going to be in Australia. We'll drop by. You know, you want to try to direct the client. Okay, so you may have not thought about this very much because you just kind of do the work. But you're providing leadership and inspiration. And the leadership is basically telling people what they need to do.
Right.
So just like I'm telling you, hey, we got to start campaigning on BIPSA and then determining are these people COIs or are they general prospects? What do they fit? Okay? So as we drill down, and I love this because now we're drilling down. When something isn't working, there's a small little gap that isn't being taken care of. And that small little gap is You've got to lead them and tell them how you would like to be introduced, how you would like the meeting to take place. Let them know that you will be handled. What if I'm concerned? Well, you know, I don't want Rodney to blow it. I don't want to be embarrassed. And so what do you think they're thinking? So let's address that question, because I know you're thinking about it. I don't want them to be embarrassed. So that's one question. Okay. Second question is, I don't want them to misuse my friend or colleague. And what might be like a third one? I don't want my relationship that I have with this person to be in any way in danger.
Right.
Okay. Now, in the back of their mind, that's what they're thinking. Okay. So if I go ask, a friend of mine, do you know a good carpenter that can kind of fix this drywall section in my house? Immediately the guy is going to say, I've worked with this guy before. He's good. He pays attention to detail. He's not overly expensive. And he won't let you down. So you want to be in a position where these folks can enthusiastically endorse you. Now, why do they enthusiastically endorse you? Because of your service model. The 12-4-2, implementation of a plan, execution. Start with those people. Now, in the back of their mind, if Rodney and Russ take care of them like they take care of me, they're going to be extremely happy. Okay, because in the back of their mind, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want you to misuse my friend. I don't want to put this special relationship in any kind of danger. And so all you're asking for at this point is a personal introduction, and then let them decide. Because, look, they're going to make the choice whether or not they want to work with me or not. Okay? So it's going to be on them, not on you, the referrer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How does that resonate with you guys?
Makes sense. It's just, it's really hard to do I don't know. It's just hard to get used to.
Oh, yeah. This is new. You know, you're getting started with this, but, have you guys played golf before?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Let me use my golf sports analogy. When you go out and golf once every 2 weeks, you're going to have the once every 2 week kind of game. Now, it kind of dawned on me, I was trying to get below a 10 handicap. And I found that the more I practiced and played, the better I got. I mean, to get to a 7, and I consider myself to be fairly athletic, it was the hardest thing that I ever picked up. Okay? And it wasn't until about 5 years ago where I really made a commitment. And what that meant was I had to hit balls at least 2 to 3 times a week, and I played twice. So you stretch that out, that's like, you know, go out and hit some balls for an hour, go through each club, you know, if you're having a problem with your wedge, work on your wedge game, you know, try to be deadly 125 yards in, and the amount of work that was required initially was a lot. Okay, so I finally got to a 7 index, and I felt really, really good about it. But that's the level of work that it really took. So on the VIPSA model, if you talk about it to one client once a week, once every 2 weeks, that's how good you're going to get at it. So go ahead and just blow the doors off, get it out of your system, and get active with it. You're going to get better each time. Practice it, script it out, and that's another thing. I do believe in scripting. When you script it out, pretty soon, you don't need the script anymore. Because you got it down cold. Okay?
Right.
So that's what it's going to take. The next thing is start making your list and start having the appointments after you've had some success or you've done a review. Or you've had a monthly meeting, they've executed on something, and you say, Mary, Bill, I'd like to spend a little bit of time, you know, what do you value, you know, in the relationship with us? Give me a moment to brainstorm. And I'd like to brainstorm with you. And just kind of go through the process.
Hey, Curtis.
You've
given us, you know, the conversation several times, but do you have it scripted out that you could give to us?
Well, I can write one for you. You know, I've just done it so many times that it's just in my brain, logged in my brain.
Right.
You know, so I don't need a script anymore. And, you know, here's what you learn after a lot of years of doing this, that people basically are the same and they have the same fears and concerns. Even the wealthy have the similar, you know, fears and concerns. And what you have to do is, you just have to understand them. You know, and I mean, you're really, really listening to the words. Okay, so when I heard you, Rodney, it was growth and execution. Want to add high-value clients, work on VIPSA, COIs, make a list, mastermind, client event. Okay, Russ, excited, client acquisition, got to get new names, COIs, people that I know. Unsolicited referrals, okay? Team leverage, I put an asterisk there. Opportunities at hand, financial plans, huge potential cases. Team value, what is a team value? So, and here's what happens. And look, I talked to guys during, I talked to a team the other day. They're doing $7 million. Team doesn't even have a business plan. And there's some team dysfunction because there's two members on the team with 10 to 12 years experience. And then there's one who's going to check out at the end of 5 years. He's dominant. He's an autocratic ruler. He doesn't take time to hear ideas from his other team members. But they don't say anything because they know he's going to check out in 5 years and they want to have access to the book. but they seize underneath, and but they just keep their mouths shut.
Mm-hmm.
So, so there's an elephant in the room. They don't communicate. All right. So what I'm saying here is that there's these inherent and fear is maybe too strong of a word, but you don't want to be embarrassed by any rejection from your existing clients. And so you just want to be smooth about it. Look, Bill, we've been working for a long time. You know, you told me some of the value I bring, but I'd like to remind you that what I think we've done is we've created a roadmap for you and your family. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, that's been great. The contact on a monthly basis is designed to help educate you and point out any deficiencies in the execution of our plan. Have we been staying on top of that to your satisfaction? Yes, you have. So you just, you know, want to go down that path of conversation. Okay, so look, I'm glad that you're happy with some of the things we're doing. Here's one of the things that where you can help us, okay? We're always looking to work with really, really good people like yourself. So with your permission, I want to brainstorm for a moment, okay? And what do you value? So we talked about the value we provide, and we talked about what's important to you, and who in your network do you think would be a potential client that could work with us? And then just kind of listen, you know, somebody at work, is it a relative, a close associate, a neighbor, a CPA that you might be working with that you can enthusiastically endorse? Help them out. Okay. And then, how would you suggest I go about meeting them? And let me tell you what we found to work best. The personal introduction. Let me tell you how that works. And this isn't just throwing out the business card or, you know, a telephone conversation. This is actually kind of meeting over coffee. So it's non-threatening and we won't take a lot of time. And we make the introduction that way. And then it's then your job to do the follow-up work. You know, you leave the meeting and I'm going to be talking to you on Tuesday next week. Or I'm going to be talking to you on Thursday next week. You're closing for the next meeting. Now, if you did this 15 times in a month and got, you know, 15 potential prospects, that would probably be pretty good.
Sure.
What do you think your close ratio is when you get in front of somebody? 50, 60, 70, 80%?
I'd say if they're a real prospect, probably 80 to 90.
Okay.
Yeah, Curtis,
so imagine
this morning, if somebody sends somebody to us and they take the trouble to come to us, it's pretty high.
Absolutely. Because you guys are good guys. So just imagine if there were 10 to 15 names that get flushed out by each of you. That's 30, okay? And I'll be conservative. I'll say 80% close rate, okay? That's 24 new relationships if you do this right. Now, they're obviously in the pipeline, and you might be providing the 90-day free look. Okay. I'm going to try to script this out for you today and send it. But you want to translate it into your own style. I tell you this, too, I'm talking to the head guy is from like the East Coast, I think New Jersey. And, you know, I work back there. And have you guys ever been in New York?
Yes. Yes.
You know, if you ever go to one of these sandwich shops or pizza joints, what do you want? What do you have? And at first, you know, being from Texas, you're thinking, are these people that rude? And, you know, there's this joke where, you know, these two guys, you know, they're from the South, and they get lost in Manhattan. And the guy says, well, can you tell us how to get to the theater district, or should we just go to hell? And look, I can joke about it because I lived in Georgia for a whole lot of years and went to high school down there. But you get to the East Coast and there's a whole different kind of language, but they're really friendly, and if they like you, they love you. But that's just how they are. So, you know, transform the dialogue, make it meaningful, but translate the script in terms of how it'll play in your market. You know, California, totally different. Hey, whatever. You know, they're very easygoing, laid back, you know, group of folks, but you still have to close. And closing is your choice of words that once you discover that you can help somebody, it is now your responsibility to bring your A game to them and close them, because they deserve to work with two individuals like yourself. Okay. All right. Let's then, let me stop right there. What questions do you have about what we covered so far?
I don't think I have.
Getting ready to campaign? You don't have any?
You're going to still write a script on VIPSA just for our sort of lock-in,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be good. What you went through just now is, I think, right on point.
Okay. I'll do that for you. I'll write the script and get it out to you today. Okay.
Curtis, for me, it's not obvious, which is kind of the way you did it. Hey, we do this. Do you realize we do this? How do you feel about it? Hey, we also do this. Here's why we do it. Do you realize we do that? Here's why we do it, and how do you feel about that? Have we been doing it? And I don't do that kind of thing ever, I don't think. So maybe part of that is making sure they recognize the value, not just asking them, but maybe guiding them a little bit. That was a learning experience for me.
Okay.
That really resonated with me, too. I thought that was just reminding them, you know, what we are doing, what we're trying to do. I think that's a great piece to this.
Okay. All right. There's a concept called giving anonymously. Okay. Let me explain that and why that's important. Okay. When you give anonymously, you take absolutely no credit whatsoever for helping someone. Okay. You know, let's say you just saved somebody on a tax minimization strategy, maybe $20,000. Maybe you help somebody fund their child's education today so that they're not faced with a $100,000 bill later on. Let's say you just help somebody meet an estate planning attorney and structured a nice will, living trust, so that they can escape probate and the headaches associated with tying up assets for 9 months. Okay, so you have to let people know what you just did. When you implement something, okay, we're done, we got that done, we rebalanced, blah, 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 and you say goodbye, you didn't really tell them what you just did, and so what happens is you give anonymously. And what it does is that it makes the service and your recommendations undifferentiated commodities. You didn't give meaning to the careful thought and your education and your training that you just provided. So you have to remind people what you do for them. So if you don't, you're giving anonymously, and they don't have the level of appreciation for what you just did for them. They say thank you, and they think that you just, it's just part of your commodity service. Okay, so how does that resonate with you? Don't give anonymously.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So, you know, this stuff isn't in Supernova. This is just kind of the cells and this emotional connection with people and some of those dynamics which you're making an effort to get better at. We got process now. So it's not like an issue of process. You got that down. Now it's all of this emotional stuff that helps your business thrive. And, you know, what you say, how you say it, and kind of feeling it and not giving anonymously. Okay. So I would say write that down. Try to memorialize that in your brain, because you're now this dynamic team. You know, it's 1 + 1 = 3. You're not there yet, but, you know, you're getting there. Okay. Now, I've got 5 minutes left. What other topic would you like to spend some time on, or questions that you have?
This is Russ. I'm good, I think.
Oh, okay.
Client event, and I've got a meeting here in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Related to a client event, but any advice on like a bring a friend client event, you know, most successful things you've seen done?
Sure. I did a lot of this from a management leadership perspective. And what I did is I'd have a client event. So like if you and Russ did this, you know, one person, you introduce the topic, and each other, you know, as this team, and your differentiated levels of expertise, but that you work together, and introduce your topic, and that somebody takes the lead in the opening, and then somebody takes the lead at the close, and that would be typically what I would do. Then I would create a table for each FA, and it could be tables of 8 or what have you. And the FA would man the table, and they would bring a friend. They had to, you know, let me know in advance, you know, let them know, hey, we appreciate it if you would bring someone that might benefit from listening to this particular topic. And then you sit at the table and establish a relationship, press the flesh, and then I would rotate. You know, maybe the rotation takes place over dessert. Okay? So you're having your client event. Are you having food, a meal service, or is it hors d'oeuvres, or what are you doing?
Well, the idea is we're gathering information on the something called the Royal Chef. He was actually a chef for the royal family, and he does cooking and stories and things like that.
And then do you all sit down at a table?
That's the idea. We haven't done one of these yet. Another guy in the office has, but...
Yeah, they work. They're good for really rapport building. You know, they get a little truth serum in them, you know, nice wine. and keep it very relationship oriented. So the key guest is going to be the chef. So you're not going to talk about investments.
Right. Yeah, it's supposed to be social.
Okay. So this is going to be a social event. So you've got to somehow get across that you're this dynamic team and you do these wonderful things for people. And we just wanted to show our appreciation, you know, to the clients that, you know, we continue to love dearly, and, you know, we're also interested in having a few more clients that we can also embrace and love dearly. You know, make it fun.
Right.
But, you know, that would be my advice. Keep it not too heavy where people are starting to nod off. Keep it light. Keep it interesting. And have the spouses walk away saying, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, Rodney and Russ really put this together for us. What a class event. And, you know, I've had some that are FAs and have invited me to. There was one done at a winery up in near Seattle. And, man, they put off an event. It had 65 top clients there. I did one in Napa for clients that had 10 million or more. And, you know, they came in, and first there were the violins playing. It was outside reception with some choice wines. And then they went into the restaurant, which was reserved for the night just for these clients. And the FAs sat in sections with their clients. And then I sat with a group, but I walked around, made my introductions, and hopefully enjoying it, you know, being a real, you know, kind of PR guy. And this restaurant was called the French Laundry, which I think might be one of the top 10 restaurants, you know, in the country. And, but those kinds of things really work. The feedback I would get was, when can we do it again? It was fairly expensive. You can't do it, too much, but, you know, you could, you know, when you get a good solidified client base, you know, you could do, you know, a couple a year, and they look forward to it.
Right. Okay. All right. I apologize. I've got a
okay
calling in.
All right.
But, Thank you very much.
I enjoyed, enjoyed our conversation today. I think we got a lot going on here, and we're going to move on the VIPSA model. Have a great week. I'm going to write the script and send you something.
Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.